الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة صدق الله العظيم.
So a few weeks ago we started explaining that to understand what is happening all around us, Allah Tabaruk Tala, right at the very beginning, if a person looks at the tartib of Surah Baqarah, so in Surah Baqarah he will see that at the beginning when Alif Lam Mim started, then Alif Lam Mim's beginning is the seer that Almighty Allah showed there will be three groups of people which previously we had mentioned. There will be the believer who will believe in things he cannot understand and he'll be happy about it. And then there will be the disbeliever who will make open his disbelief, his enmity, his hatred. And in between there will be a group who will behave as though they are with the believers, but in reality they will be working for the disbelievers. And because they will cause such harm to Islam, Almighty Allah explained them in detail. He explained the signs, he explained the qualities, he explained the words. And thereafter a time comes where Almighty Allah then says, Ya Ayyuhanna Su'budu, that O mankind at large, meaning forget all your stories, all of you have been told, fall into the obedience of Allah. And in this year now Almighty Allah says, Wa idh qala rabbuka lil malaikati. And never ever forget that time, that wa idh in the Arabic language means keep it always in front. That it all started when Almighty Allah told Iblis, make sajda. When Almighty Allah created Adam a.s. and Shaitan, Iblis, Azazil burnt. And then the time came when Almighty Allah told him, make sajda. So the sajda of Iblis to man was the honoring of Adam. Honoring of Adam was the honoring of mankind. That man is so unique that the angels and the jinn were ordered to make sajda. So Iblis was never going to do it. So in going out, we ended on this, that he explained to the angels that I will prove a point. And that point that he is going to prove is that Almighty Allah in a couple of his decisions was not correct. Decision number one, that the jinn must make sajda to man. That was something that he wasn't happy with. He himself couldn't understand the reason. But like how you'll have example in a madrasa, some student doesn't like certain laws of the madrasa. Maybe many students. So one is where the student says, I don't agree with the law. And one is then he goes out of his way to prove the law won't work. Just to prove his point. He'll make sure. He'll do what he can. Where someone could have just told him, you don't like the law, just leave. There are so many madrasas that got no laws. But that student won't leave. He will stay in to prove the law is wrong. Iblis, when he came out of Jannah, he could have had one of two conditions. One is an Almighty Allah told him, get out. So he could have gone for a while, cooled down, thought about the situation. And all he had to do after was send a letter to Almighty Allah that Iblis says he's sorry. He had the most recognition of the Zat of Allah. He knew it can happen. But he was not prepared to do that. He wanted to prove a point. That me, I will never accept I am wrong. So if I am not wrong, it means that Allah himself is wrong. And that's what he wants to prove. That man making angels and jinn making sajda to man, that doesn't make sense. Rather it should be that man makes sajda to the jinn. And he'll go out of his way to prove it. And then to prove Almighty Allah was wrong in giving man khilafat instead of jinn. In his understanding, man is limited. Man gets backaches, man gets leg aches, man gets weak, man gets hungry, man gets thirsty. Jinn are strong. Jinn can move faster than men. They can lift up things faster than men. They can create things, they can make things. They are unique. When Sulaiman alayhi salam's empire was made, what made his empire was the power he had over the jinn. Because the jinn were the builders, they were the architects. They could do things which man could never think of doing. So with all that power, why is it that jinn must now be listening to man? Man must listen to jinn. So to prove that that command was wrong, that khilafah is given to man, it should be given to jinn. And to prove that, he has to just show one thing, that man will never remain faithful to his master. That if Allah wanted someone to do a work, then he should have appointed the jinn to do it, not man. Whereas just before that, the jinnat had a time in the world. And they had made open fitna, fasad, chaos. But his mind wasn't going to go to that now. He wanted to prove a point. Then man is a failure. And Almighty Allah, because his desire was that this world is darul imtihan. That in this world, the quality of faithfulness, wafa, that must be tested. The word fitna we all hear. A lot of times when we hear fitna, we think of a pretty girl. Say she's fitna, wow. So the word fitna in the Arabic language means to burn something. You take gold and you put it in heat. Then what will happen? The dirt that is around that gold will separate. And the gold will be khalis. Separate. And then this you will call fitna. Fitna means an exam was taken, a test was taken, or the thing was melted so that the dirt could separate from that which was real. In this world, Almighty Allah started it as a place of fitna. That in this world there will have to be a fire. And in this fire, everyone has to fall. Every single person. Man and jinn. And in that fire now, some will go this side, some will go that side. Some will become wafadar, faithful to the zat of Allah, and some will not. A lot of times when we look at what's happening at Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Egypt, then a lot of people feel that at the present moment, it's not a fair world. That if you get a soldier who's an American and he just comes and he kills 25 people, then if he goes to court, they will just look at him and say, I think that day, maybe you had a bad dream. You weren't feeling very well, we'll give you some tablets and don't do it again. Make sure you don't do it. And it'll come in the newspapers, he was given a severe reprimand. And if you get one Muslim boy, who mistakenly happens to be in the place where a bomb goes off. He's not even the one who did the bomb, he just was standing there. And especially if he had a topi like this. And immediately he will be taken in. For him there will be no court case. There will be no lawyer. There will be no judge. Before the case starts, he's already found guilty. And now they just have to decide what's the punishment. He will try and prove, I never kill anyone. It's not possible for me to kill. I don't even know how to make a bomb. But they will say, you don't talk. We have already proven it. And the whole world will wonder that what a funny world this is. That it is not a system of justice. So Almighty Allah from the beginning explained, it's not going to be a system of justice. Because it's meant as an imtihan. In this imtihan now, when Shaitan was leaving, so he said, I will prove. Almighty Allah then, because the world was darul imtihan, and Allah needed someone to take the imtihan of man, so Shaitan was ready. So he was told, very good, you are now my rep. Go take the imtihan. I'll give you your bag. When a rep goes out, he got jobs, what he's going to... When you appoint someone to do your work, and the first thing you do is whatever he needs for that work, you will give him. So Almighty Allah now wanted the imtihan of man to be taken. Meaning man and jinn at large to be burnt. So that it could be seen who will be good and who won't be good. So the demand is you provide the man who's going to take the imtihan with whatever he requires. So when Iblis was now going out of Jannah, he asked. He said, it's not fair that I take the imtihan of the whole world. Meaning that claim I had made, I will prove no one in the world will be faithful. So Almighty Allah said, very good. We need someone to prove that. So then he said, it's not fair that I am one alone to take everyone's exam. So Almighty Allah then asked, what do you want? Which comes in narrations. So he said, I want voice. I want power. I want time. I want armies. I want men. I want jinn. So in the narration it appears that Almighty Allah said to him, okay, for every one man of Adam, I will give you 10 of your progeny. Meaning one man is born, 10 of yours will be born. How will Shaitan get children? That's something that if you go in the world of jinn, you can ask him. And how do you get children? So because if Shaitan is giving 10 on every one man, his whole life will be in hospital. Delivering, where he'll have time for the world. So different people have mentioned different things. Almighty Allah said you will get 10 for everyone. That is why it's mentioned if one man wakes up for Fajr, as he walks, appears in the narrations, walking for Fajr, an entire army of jinnat start following him, shayateen. And if you have to see that scene Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described, it looks like the queen bee flying and the entire hive going buzz behind. That whole hive is targeting one man. That is this world. Up till now, many of us, our understanding of shaitan is this. For whatever reason, we have made shaitan like a very small figure. We have made him like someone who comes like, hee 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 hee. And then you come and you blow one thought, and you read, A'udhu Billah, and he's gone. Finished. And you say, shaitan, like nothing, gone. Which one day I had a discussion with someone trying to explain the world of shayateen, dajjal, so the person wasn't happy to accept. That what I'm telling you, whatever is happening around us, this is dajjaliyat, this is shayateen. So it doesn't make sense, because shaitan, what you know is, that he just gives a thought in the heart, you read a'udhu la hawla, and he's gone, finished. So I told him, okay, explain to me that from the time you seeing this world, history, what have you seen in life? So he saw most likely World War II, and during after World War II and the invasion of Russia there, and then all the lands, Bukhara, Samarkand, all Muslim lands were now razed to the ground. Now there was not a single person to recite Kalima, no one to read Quran. Every woman was raped or tortured or killed. Every person with a beard was removed. Every person who was ready to read La ilaha illallah loudly was slaughtered. And a place which had millions of Muslims, suddenly now you're walking through, you can't find a single one. An entire world gone. And thereafter there was war in the entire Arab lands at the same time. And what war we're seeing today, which we say a major wars, this is small compared to what happened when the Khilafat was destroyed. When there was an Islamic Khilafat, there was an Islamic law throughout the whole world. And suddenly one war started, which saw fighting taking place in Hijaz. And people who had devoted their life for Islam were taken to the ground. At the same time, it saw Turkey, a land which had the muftis of the world, passing fatwa for the entire world. Suddenly in that same Turkey, every scholar is taken to the ground. And now even the adhan is not allowed in the Arabic language. You can understand how much of bloodshed that was, just for that to happen. And then if you had to go to Egypt, you had to go to Syria, then every country became what is called secular. That whoever had any jazba of deen was taken to the ground. But we never saw it in that time. Maybe one reason, that time there was no internet. So the world just carried on. But it happened. Blood was throughout the whole world. And then after that people saw Israel, Palestine and what happened there. And now if you go to it, you just want to bleed, cry. So I asked him, who you think is doing all of this? So much of bloodshed. And only targeting the Muslims. So I asked him, who you think? So he told me, the Jewish lobby. So I told him that how is it possible that one lobby of Jews manages to get it right every time? Always they're getting it right. They're making the right decisions and no one can catch them. So he told me these Jews are very sharp, very clever. So I said, very good then, but how come then throughout history, until the coming of our Ummah, throughout history the Bani Israel, who are known as the Jews, they were always persecuted. Throughout history, the Bani Israel, except in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, never had rule. So if they were clever, meaning you were Jew, Jewish got brains, then they would have brains throughout. How come only in this Ummah the Jew is born with brains? Thereafter I told him that see, if the Jewish lobby was able to create such facade, so much of facade, and a time will come when there will be what you want to call Dajjal. And Dajjal will come out at a time which we know is at the ending of the reign of Hazrat Mahdi. So first Hazrat Mahdi will come, and then there will be war for about 7 to 10 years, in which Hazrat Mahdi will take the entire Christian world to the ground. The people who will fight with him will be the strongest of Iman in the entire Zamana. That will be the army. Weak people won't join his army. Example, many of us, we can't fight. We can't even shoot a gun. Now imagine we go join the army. So you think Hazrat Mahdi will tell you, join, go out. Many a time I feel they might tell you that you people are good at cooking, so you all look after the tents. He will have fighters in his army, unique fighters. From the whole world, people will give their lives. They will sacrifice their wives, their children, their houses. And from all over, they will start coming. Today, where you can't sacrifice one phone, see what happens, your cell phone gets lost, gets stolen. That person, the way he looks like someone in Egypt, a whole family died. You'll see him reading the article of massacre in Egypt, you'll say, Inna lillah, but no cheer will come down. But see that same person whose galaxy or whatever gets lost, and you will see not the eye tears, the heart is bleeding. Love. But at that time they will forget everything. And that man will be ready to go into his death in the love of Islam. So what will his Iman be? 7 years or 10 years like that. And then the Dajjal will finally make his physical appearance. Physical. I told him, at that time, how successful do you think the Dajjal will be? Because he will now have to face the most strongest in Iman for many, many years. So I told him, even if the Dajjal, which is impossible, manages to make the entire army of Hazrat Mahdi kafir, which is impossible, but even if he manages to do that, still we will say that the Jewish lobby committed greater harm to the Ummah than the Dajjal himself. Because their harm stretched through a period of over 100 years, took away millions and millions and millions of believers, raised thousands and thousands of masjids. So I say, wouldn't it have been better for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, you know what, the greatest fitna that will come from the time of Adam alayhi salam till the last day will be the Jewish lobby. He could have said that. But because there is no such thing as a Jewish lobby, there is no such thing as Hitler, there is no such thing as America, the White House, there was never such thing as Firaun, Haman, Qarun. These were all names in the front. But behind these names there was that Iblis who was sitting, who started the game at the beginning. That I will ensure that the entire world will go according to my desire, will do what I want, will come finally and make sajda. And whoever is not ready to do it, I will unleash upon him whatever power is in my pocket to make sure that finally he submits. So Almighty Allah right at the beginning said to Iblis, what do you want to go prove a point? So he said, I want power. The verse most likely we read it, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. Almighty Allah said, I will give you a voice. Such a powerful voice that you will speak to the whole world, but no one will know you talking to them. You will be able to come in their ears, in their mind, in their heart. You will be able to influence them. It will be yours. But you never stop at that. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. And it was told to him that armies is yours. When we speak of the United Nations today, they united under what? When you unite under something, isn't it? They united under what? Who united them? They themselves never united. Because in one madrasa, if you get two people fighting, only two people, try and unite them, you will never succeed. If the heart is dirty to another, just two people try and join, impossible. But here we heard about every country in the world who got different appetites. Some people eat chilies, some people eat only rice, no spices, some people eat rats and mice. All of these united. All of them. How did they manage to shake hands, come on one table and say, you know what, you say, I say, he say, we all say. Always united. We will never differ. When someone unites them, then they unite. So Almighty Allah said, I will give you the armies of the world. And it's a thing now to learn, how did he manage to get the armies, which inshallah we will speak about one day. But all these armies making decisions, where everyone wants to know what's the next decision. What's going to happen in Syria? Will America attack or not? What's going to happen in Iran, Israel? So always we explain that the decision will happen when the head of the table makes a decision. If the head of the table finds it's best in his interest for Syria to be attacked, they'll be attacked. And if he says at the moment still don't attack, as long as Assad, Bashar is still managing to survive, just hold on for a while. When you finally see him falling, then we'll run in just to make him fall harder. It's all one decision on the top. Each army doesn't know who he is working for, but they all work for one. So Almighty Allah said, I will give you the power, ajlib. Ijlab means, you will able to pull the armies of the world onto my ummah. The ummah is us, from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Almighty Allah said, pull the armies of the world onto them. Ajlib alayhim bi khaylik wa rajilik. Some of your armies will be coming in tanks. That is khayl. Some will be coming on horses, some will be coming on camels, some will be coming with huge elephants. Throughout history, think about, whenever did a Muslim army enjoy power which was never in the hands of the kafir armies? And you will see it never happened throughout history. Whatever the Muslim army had, the kafir armies would manage to have something superior. It would only be iman that would be defeating kufr. The Muslims at one time had no wealth also, but even when wealth came, in arms throughout history, kufr was always dominant. In numbers, kufr was always dominant. There was never a time where Muslim army would be the majority of the world. A united nation of a Muslim army taking over the whole world. Muslims are always minority. You hear about 3,000 Muslims facing 30,000. 5,000 Muslims facing 50,000. Kufr was dominant. أَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكْ وَرَجِلِكْ. Some of your armies will come on their conveyances. Today when you see those tanks coming, and you see those ships coming, and you see those jets coming, and you wonder who's pulling them, then the verse showed you that shaitan is pulling them. أَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Bring upon the world your armies. And when an army comes, what it means? It means slaughtering. It means blood. It means rape. It means torture. So when Almighty Allah told Shaitan, bring upon your armies on the world, Almighty Allah at the same time said to Shaitan, that I will be allowing you to let your sword go wild on the ummah. I will allow you to cut innocent men and children. I will allow you to put women on the ground and have them raped. I will allow you to torture, to massacre, to humiliate. I will give you all that power. You only have to prove one thing to me. That after getting all of that power, that man on the ground, after he sees because of Islam, he is doing nothing but suffering, a time must finally come in his life where he says, I want to have nothing to do with Islam. Go prove that. And until today, Shaitan is trying to prove that. You will see that woman on the ground, blood is coming from her nose, from her ears, from her eyes. She's down, she has been cut in the chest. Her inside has been pulled out. Her honor was taken before her death. Her husband is standing and looking at the sight. The small child is saying, Daddy, where's mommy? Three people have gone. One is dead and the other two are practically dead. But those three, when the world will look at them, we will cry. And we will say how unfair it is. But above those three, two eyes are falling on them. One is the eye of Shaitan, And when Shaitan looks at that scene, we might think he's very happy about it. We might think that the boss is happy to see a Muslim woman raped, killed, tortured. But when Shaitan sees that scene, he is not smiling at all. But rather he is burning with anger. Because that woman who left the world, she finally left in the condition that she allowed her izzat to be taken. Her honor had to be taken. She was going to be separated from her child. She saw people doing things to her that she never imagined possible. But throughout that whole time, that iman which was in her, she never allowed it to come out. And that was the only thing Shaitan wanted. Because he had to prove a point that she will finally submit, and she never submitted. So Shaitan, when he sees that sight, he burns. And at the same time, the other eye on that woman is the eye of Allah. And Allah points to the angels and he says, that the same man who you once upon a time said, يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا, that man will never remain faithful. Do you not see a woman who forget being faithful? I brought the entire world against her. Winds from every direction fell against her. Her whole body in the ending had to be given. Her izzat was taken. Her honor was taken. She had to be separated from her beloved wife, husband and child. But till the ending, in the love of me, she was never ready to give up. Do you want to see anything more faithful than that? And that is what this imtihan that is taking place today. War will never stop. Bleeding will never stop. Bombs will never stop. And as the power Almighty Allah gives to the shayateen increases, then the imtihan is also going to increase. Which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time is going to come in this ummah where the imtihan is going to be so severe that Almighty Allah will smile so much on those that are managing that the reward He was giving to the first group of the ummah, He will be giving to this group also. Because they will be going through a condition where it's one man facing a world. To understand this imtihan, we will end on this. You remember Fir'aun? So Fir'aun also in his time, he was also a man behind who there was a shaitan. And when in the house of Fir'aun, Asiya says, I want to believe in Musa. Then where Fir'aun had the fikr of killing the children outside in his own house, what torture do you think would now take place on Asiya? Whether he had Israel to commit the torture, or he had some people from Germany doing the torture, or he had some unique Arabs doing the torture, but in the house of Fir'aun was the worst torture chamber in the entire world. And that woman on whom torture took place was a simple woman, Asiya, who had grown up in the lap of luxury. She was a princess and then a queen. She had never slept on a hard bed. Every lump of her body was of the most delicate skin. She had baths in milk. She had people massaging her, looking after her. They never had to do anything in their life. That woman now is taken in a torture chamber. And whatever torture could be unleashed on her body was unleashed. Just to take out that iman. But what was it that every time they're doing something, she's just... that I'll never give up, never give up, never give up. So at that time, two also eyes were on Asiya, which is on the rest of the world today. One was the eye of Shaitan, Iblis, Azazil. That as he would see Asiya not giving up, he would burn. For which reason, Fir'aun was coming in and out, in and out. Has she still not given up? Has she still not given up? That whole thing was give up. Because you're going to prove a point. And she was not giving up. And Almighty Allah's eye was also on Asiya. And to understand it, which is mentioned in the books of Tafsir, that normally only when you die, your Jannah opens up to you. But Almighty Allah was looking at Asiya with so much of love at that time. Which a lot of people say, if Allah loves the Muslims, why does He allow them to be tortured? So Allah loved Asiya, but this world is a world to prove someone's faithfulness. So that loving eye was also on Asiya. And as she was bleeding now, and her last breath of life was being pulled out, but she was still saying, I'll never give up. Until finally, in appreciation of her, Almighty Allah opened her Jannah before she passed away. every veil was lifted. And now Asiya, instead of crying, the man who gave the next shot, suddenly saw a smile on the face of Asiya. Now how did that smile come? So that smile was for a couple of reasons. One was to show Allah appreciates man suffering. The other thing is that when you cry about that woman who died, and you say how bad, how unfortunate, how sorrowful, then understand one thing, that just Asiya, her smile came out 1 second earlier. That woman's smile comes out 1 second late. As soon as that woman's soul is lifted, immediately a smile comes on the face. Not of the physical body in this world, because there'll be no imtihan then, but on that soul of that person. And as that person is being taken up to Allah, then if the angel has to ask that soul, do you remember being raped? Do you remember being tortured? Do you remember seeing your son slaughtered in front of you? It will be one smile only. One smile. That smile Asiya gave to the world, to show the one who remains till the end faithful to Allah, Allah will ensure that person will go smiling. Allah will ensure that person will leave smiling. But there's an imtihan that is taking place. And how the imtihan takes place that side? That imtihan takes place here also. Where that side one woman got a gun put at her, and she is told, give up. We don't have a gun put. We only got a thought. You sit in front of the internet, no gun is there to tell you put on the site. It is one thought which man says, hey, I can't manage. Can't manage. So remember how Asiya managed, and how that woman managed, and how that man managed. We also have to manage. Somehow or the other, people have to burn. And when you burn, then gold will separate from dirt. Almighty Allah will smile, shaitan will burn. Allah Pak grant us all the best.